Good afternoon. The next talk is from Michael Meek, who is a strong supporter of free software. He is the general manager of Collabora Productivity and the director of the Document Foundation. And now his talk will be how Collabora Online and Moodle can enhance education. So Michael, the stage is yours.
Thank you very much. Vielen Dank, Martin. Ich habe Deutsch gehört. Es ist wunderbar. Ja, ich habe sicher vermisst. Aber mein Deutsch ist schrecklich. Entschuldigung. So, und mein Englisch ist zu schnell. So, auch Entschuldigung. So, English. Let me switch to English, if I may. Sorry for that. And let's get on with some slides. Where are these buttons here? Good, perfect. So I'm going to talk about Collabora Online, which I know a lot about. And I'm going to talk about Moodle, which I know a little about, but which is a wonderful integration for us. I'm slightly cheating here. The real heroes behind this, and you'll see on my slide later, are Michael Wittke, Jan Dagerford, and some others who are working to create this plugin and make it work beautifully with Moodle. So perhaps you know about Moodle, but you don't know about Collabora Online. So let me tell you about that. So Collabora Online is sort of built on top of the awesome LibreOffice technology base. You know, the 35 years of work on interoperability and you know, making your documents render beautifully, despite all of the weird and wonderful things other people put in documents. So it's extremely rich. It's extremely powerful. It's extremely interoperable. But on top of that, we layer collaborative editing, and then, of course, we target multiple platforms. So how do we do that? Well, that is a great thing. One of the things that there are a number of things we don't do, and I'll come on to those later. Some of those are storage and authentication. And so in order to store data and documents, we need someone else to do it. So there are a lot of someone else's. So obviously, OwnCloud, Nextcloud, Cfile, eGroupware. There's a talk after mine, I think, from eGroupware to show off their integration. Or a learning management system like Moodle or Chat, Mattermost, and you know, Dell or Filer or the you know Microfocus Filer. There are a number of other a large number of other integrations, and those really provide two things. They provide storage of the documents. And then also authentication, identity, permission models, and the management of that. So Collabora Online, of course, is not a web service. It's something that you run yourself. It's software, and you deploy it on your premise under your own control. And so that gives you a huge degree of freedom. It's an open source solution. It gives you, you know, it gives you back your digital sovereignty, your control over your data. And so that's really cool. In terms of a pragmatic solution, it's something that we can get there quickly, and we can deliver huge value very, very fast. So we've tried to avoid rewriting the 8 million lines of code that is LibreOffice, or is it the 14 million lines of code that is Microsoft Office, in JavaScript. Partly because JavaScript is arguably the worst language in the world. I mean, there are a lot of competitors there, but I think really it's got a lot going for it in the winning the worst language stakes. But you know, just rewriting code doesn't help anyone. It duplicates the amount of code in the world, even if you could do it, and it doubles the number of bugs and it halves the number of people to work on each of them. So there we go. Best line of code is the one we didn't have to write, and our architecture is a bet on CPU threads and network getting cheaper ultimately. We render a lot of stuff on the server, we calculate on the server, and we push it to you over the network. It's incredibly more efficient than a VDI solution, but there is some degree of slight similarity there. Obviously, it runs inside your browser. But in terms of efficiency, much more is shared on the server, and maybe I'll talk about that. And loads of people are getting it. So 50 million is this obsolete number now. But large number of Docker images going out there, and people running this themselves. So in terms of key features, then we have easy collaboration. We have real-time editing, obviously. As you type, you see what everyone else types exactly at the same time. There's no lag there. We have commenting, we have redlining or change tracking, as you'd expect. And you think, you know, this is obvious. Like, this is all easy stuff, right? Everyone has that. Well, actually not. So if you look at Microsoft Office 365, their online Word product, there is no redlining, change tracking built into that product, which is just slightly strange. It's nice to be able to know who did what, who's suggesting what changed the document and so on. Similarly, WYSIWYG editing is something that's been thrown out of the window in the race to collaboration there, and something we provide really, really nicely. So, yeah, some good distinctive features there that people love and should be familiar from, you know, any kind of Office productivity application for the last, well, for a long time. Word 5, I guess, was probably less WYSIWYG than you might hope, and text only. Wikis, I guess, are not WYSIWYG, typically. But yeah, I mean, so we can give you the layout, the what you see is what you get, a WYSIWYG layout, and also, you know, all this functionality. So there are a lot of cool things there that are, you know, kind of distinctive. So providing that rich functionality gives you just a lot of control over what you can do, how you can lay out your documents, adapt images, but all kind of functionality there that's extremely rich. And you see we bring the sidebar there from LibreOffice that you'll be familiar with. So we bring a whole huge depth of detail around, you know, page styling, you know, and so on, that makes it very easy to create powerful documents. And, you know, you can be sure that as you print it out, it looks, you know, like it looks on the screen, which is, I don't know, that's usually probably quite a good thing. As I say, it's been missed out in much of these more modern products. So, cool stuff. Of course, we have a spreadsheet as well, you know, the full suite of formulae, interoperability people are used to. And extremely fast too, obviously it's running on the server side. So, you know, in burst mode when you need lots of calculation stuff, we can thread, we can calculate your spreadsheets, your big spreadsheets very quickly and deliver them very, very rapidly to lots of people. And similarly, presentations, you know, we do that too. So I talked a little bit about this. So people often are a little bit nervous about security. I think, you know, it's worth saying, you know, that, well, while we're editing it, your document is incredibly secure. You know, it comes and it lives inside a chroot, which is locked up in lots of ways. So inside that, each document has its own container, and that has virtually nothing on the file system inside it. All of its system calls are watched and filtered by the system to get rid of anything that looks out of you know, line. I guess it's a bit like app armor or something like that, but it's much simpler. It just uses setconf bookie packet filters on system calls. But then, of course, the software is going through, you know, very systematic load crash testing. We load and save something like 100,000 documents and, you know, save them in different formats and try and catch problems there. We have an amazing Coverity score. I guess not on there is the things like the Google OSS Fuzz, which, you know, has these huge numbers of clustered work nodes running ASAM, trying to do evolutionary algorithms to find, you know, to get best code coverage, find a problem and then minimize the test reproducer for that. And so lots of this work is done inside the LibreOffice core there, providing this very robust LibreOffice kit. I think then if you're even more worried, you can wrap it in virtual machines, and obviously we have it inside Docker containers. And all of that goodness then runs on your server room, on your network, on your CPU. And what we send to the devices then is essentially pixels, you know, or much more intelligence than that, you know, bits about the layout of documents and its geometry. So that the document data actually never leaves your server room. So you're completely sure where it is and who's accessed it and so on. So then, of course, we plug that into Moodle, and we want to provide all of these, you know, pieces of functionality in that rich document editing directly in the Moodle environment, so you can present information there, so people can come in and interact with that very easily, whether it's, you know, sort of sample spreadsheet and see how something works, or whether it's you know, just course material that you already have prepared and you already have in your familiar document formats. So yeah, so there's really two ways of doing that. So one is with this activity module, so that this really allows people to, you know, collaboratively edit and you know, create documents. And then there's a whole submission flow there, so that you can create assignments and give them to people, and you can then review the results coming in, which is kind of cool. So you want it, but how can you get it? Well, the easiest way then is to go and get code, which is our development edition. I guess it's the Fedora to the CentOS that we use. We try all of our latest and greatest, coolest things out inside code, so you get them somewhat ahead of time. And there's lots of ways you can get that. There's a Univention App Center will install it easily, or Docker images, another very popular way. We have raw packages, or you can build it yourself. It's all of it's there, and get stuck in, which is cool. And having done that, of course, you then need to install the Calabra Moodle plugin. And there are two actual plugins for those different bits of functionality you might want. And then there's one easy to configure setting. I mean, it's just, you know, you've got to point it at the URL of the image that you're running that hosts Calabra Online. The people there they're great. I mean, these guys are visionaries. You know, they're doing wonderful things. And please do get involved. You know, if you need new features, you want to get extra functionality in there. That should be reasonably easy. And they're great people to work with. So check it out and have a look. Here we go. So you can add these to your activity, pretty trivially, and you can lock that down and see, control what people can do, obviously, with those activities and restrict, configure exactly what it is you want people to do. And, you can protect your documents so that they can all be read and looked at and played with, but are read-only if you don't want people messing with them. Seems like a good idea in many cases. And then you can have these collaborative documents to in assignments, so people can work on them together or individually, and you can see what sort of file types you want to accept. It seems. And how does that all work in the background? Well, I mentioned, I think, before that the data goes the data and authentication is then all done by the integration, and so the plugin that plugs into Moodle, its job is basically those two things. To manage all of those permissions and to tell us what we can do with the document and what each user. So, I mean, it's easy for one user to be able to edit it and others just view it or comment on it or this kind of thing. So either way, then we're essentially an iframe embedded into the application, and we serve our JavaScript to there. That iframe gets passed an authentication token from Moodle. And we then give that back to Moodle to say, hey, give us the document for this person. Give us this document with this authentication token. Oh, and tell us about this person. What's their name? What do they, what's their avatar? How can we best represent them in the UI to everybody to show multiple people editing? And off Moodle goes, and it gives us the document, the web get, and then we do a web put back to save it again. It's really that simple. And that's a good thing. I tell you all of this because some people install Calabra Online, and then they say it doesn't do anything. And of course, it does a huge amount, but it's kind of a microservice. You need it's like a massive microservice. You need the rest of the infrastructure around it to manage that document and store and load and authentication piece. So you really need both those bits to use Calabra Online. So Moodle is a great example of how that goes together. So Calabra Online 6.4x. So our latest release is 6.4, and it brings a whole load of different things. So one of the feedbacks we've had is a user experience needs to improve. So previously we started with something that looked a little like what we have at the bottom here, which was really much more familiar to people from Google Docs, let's say, and people familiar with a simple menu, a menu and toolbar, and that works nicely. And then, of course, other people are very familiar with the Microsoft world and this tabbed notebook bar view that they provide. So in recent times, we've provided that as well. And there's an option there. You can actually now configure it into the integration, but there's a little setting in the setup, and you can change how that looks then very easily to taste. Possibly. So I think there's a view among Moodle developers to not have too many options and settings, and that seems wise to me. So I think at the moment you'd want to configure that for your whole estate, either to look like one or the other. But I don't know. The other thing you can do, of course, is just to get the whole thing out of the way. If you click a second time on your home bar, for example, it can just collapse to give you a smaller menu there. which is great. And it's interesting to know that, of course, the latest Microsoft Office Onlines then have a single line toolbar, which is a contextual notebook bar type thing. So everyone's going in circles there. But either way, we have the options that people want so they can feel at home and get productive. And so that's really a new thing in 6.4. I'm very pleased with that. What else? So there's been quite a lot of PDF improvements here. So often people want to share PDFs with people as a sort of formal written record of something. You know, here is the version I sent you. But they want then to get collaboration around that. So getting comments on those PDFs, annotations to them is an important new feature in 6.4. And so we can do that and do that collaboratively, which is nice. For those of us who print things out, we've got a new feature here for binding, particularly for binding and setting margins in the gutter, like the middle of the page. You can see a picture, I guess, up here of how that looks out. That turns out to be really useful, particularly in government, but I guess also probably when you're getting your thesis, bound and written up and so on. We've done a whole chunk of work for font work. So we bring LibreOffice into the browser and make it collaborative. And we've had Writer and Calc and Impress from the beginning. But there is this draw element that then provides a whole load of more functionality. And to make that available for schools, communications and drawing and providing posters and things. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of sort of paginated graphical stuff that people want to do. So we've been helping bring that to the browser too. So graphical text artwork there and font works, funky things that look fun. Freeze panes so that you can, see your spreadsheets better without jumping around the place all of the time, landed. Macros. Visual Basic or Star Basic macros are probably a terrible idea. But, they're popular, and people have built all sorts of little business flows around them. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to stop users typing into these bits and constrain things there and do more powerful interactions? I think we could probably even throw out dialogues and show them in some cases too. But either way, it's a limited subset of Visual Basic support and Star Basic support, because many of these APIs were not really designed for a collaborative editing world. How do you manage that in a scripting way is unclear, but it's improving significantly. And we can if you want to allow this as an admin, you can turn it on. It's off by default. So that's kind of useful. Just improving the ergonomics in Calc, moving and copying sheets. Pivot tables we've added, which is particularly useful, I guess, in a business context for understanding unstructured data. And if you've never used pivot tables, you probably ought to, because they're just an extremely powerful tool. Do it once, create a few pivot tables, see how they go, just to see the understanding and the insights that you can get out of a massive, say, Git commit data or something like that. It's quite really a useful tool. There's another interesting thing though about pivot tables, which is this native dialogue work. So at the moment we're sort of in 6.4 and a halfway house. We are trying to do more and more of the user experience and UI on the client side inside your browser in JavaScript. And we're making great progress there. So the notebook bar, whole loads of the dialogues are already, well, a number of dialogues are done like this. But some are still pixels. And this was one of the first dialogues here where we started to really do a much more powerful dialogue in this way. And essentially what we do is we convert what is ultimately a Glade-defined XML user interface into widgets of some kind in the core, which generate JSON, which we send to the client, and then we build the UI, and we talk JSON back to that dialogue. So the dialogue is sort of half implemented in the browser and half implemented in the back end. But that doesn't mean then that we can reuse all of those dialogues. And this is some work that was done in the LibreOffice core by, primarily Red Hat, to get better GTK3 integration. So in the bad old days, we used to do a lot of pixel bashing in the toolkit use in the LibreOffice core, and literally painting individual pixels around the place, to do all sorts of things. And we would try and force the toolkit to composite its widgets onto that. And that works quite well. I mean, you know, for many years, it was a lot better than, you know, our own homemade toolkit that we had before. But the problem is that when it comes to the latest, most trendy things like, you know, CSS animations on buttons as you mouse over them and all of those things that the designers love, it's just not possible to replicate that without actually using the native widgets. So LibreOffice in the core then is increasingly using native GTK widgets. And so there's a big work to decouple all of that in the core. And a huge benefit of that, of course, is then we can decouple all of our dialogues remotely as well, using the same mechanism. So another brilliant example of code sharing and reuse, and of course, you know, just a huge scale there of testing and debugging and deployment and experience with that. So exciting stuff. And we want that to be coming to the sidebar. That's, you know, we're doing a whole load of other bits there too. Other new features, so manage ranges, name ranges, print ranges, all of the things you expect around ranges and spreadsheets. We've added a whole load of statistical tools, which you'll not find in any other, you know, online in browser product. And again, I think using native dialogues here, so there's whole loads of things that people like to do to analyze their data that we can now do easily online. I mentioned the new module draw. There's a whole load of things there around shapes and connection points and flowcharts and all sorts of other good things that are going in there. Let me see if I've got a slide about that. Maybe I have. I haven't. So you know, getting connectors and glue points and shapes and diagrams going is an exciting problem. And so Mert has been working on that for some months. And yeah, we're now shipping some great things there. I mentioned Fontwork. I guess this also shows the mobile UI. So I don't know. Yeah, I'll talk about that in a little bit, actually. But this is a sort of mobile phone view of what we're doing there. And yeah, here's a bit more to reassure you that it's not going to bite you. Another big thing that we just landed in 6.4.7, which came out, I think, last week of that order, is improving the crispness. So one of the problems is that some some browser devices are zoomed. And one of the interesting things you should be aware of is that, you know, people try and save your browser from doing unnecessary work. But if you're not at 100% zoom, you know, every picture is interpolated as it's rendered. And on Chrome, there was a particularly embarrassing Chrome bug, I think, where they were getting a device scale. And they were dividing by 1,000 instead of 1,024 for some reason. It's like a binary, a fraction. So almost all of the Chromes were at 97.7 device scale, which just meant that, you know, when you were trying to put pixels on the screen and make them crisp, there was just a horrible interpolation, all the performance and quality issues going with that. So we've rewritten a whole load of our tile rendering, and we've dropped, actually, interestingly, we previously had a map widget. So, you know, we were describing your document and its coordinates in latitude and longitude under the hood, which is quite amazing. I mean, there are a number of coordinate transforms inside the LibreOffice core, from 20ths of inch points, and an inch point, well, a point of, you may know, is a 72nd of an inch, which is, you know, I don't know, and a 20th of that. And so there's a lot of archaic units, but it really was the icing on the cake to map this to you know, latitude and longitude in a certain map projection to get your document. And that's now broadly gone. So at least for the tile rendering. And that then simplifies the code. We've moved it to TypeScript, so it's much less awful than JavaScript. And part of that was a split pane work. But that then enables just a faster, more simple rendering and more smarts. So client-side calc grid rendering is one of the first things there. We'll be doing page outlines and reordering how pages look and all sorts of other things to get a better experience on the client built on top of that. And then Good 6.4 has a whole load of pieces you can't see. So like we've done lots of work to improve rendering time, better cell interactivity in calc. Turns out there was lots of pointless resizing and silliness there. Instead of hard linking our jails, you remember we put things in chroot jails, these tight containers. We have now some very optimized by mounting pieces that create and destroy these with a few system calls instead of a large number. Watermarking's better, lots and lots of things, improvements in Impress, PDF performance improvements, thumbnailing, and doing things on iOS too. I'll talk a little bit about mobile in a second, but yeah, just making these mobile apps look nicer. Much more substantial Cypress automated test coverage, very, very useful, obviously, for making sure things don't regress, and helping people debug clustered setups. So obviously, Collabora Online scales incredibly well to a large number of users, but it's easy to screw that up. You know, it's very important that we get everybody working on one document into the same server. And so we can then help check IDs and make that easier for people to detect when it's gone wrong. And lots more. I can't tell you, you know, all of the work we've done in the last 6 months on this, loads and loads of bug fixes and improvements. And we're also shipping this stuff on Android, iOS, and of course, Chrome OS. So here's a tablet view, which is used in a number of schools. And you can see it's looking pretty pretty. one of the things that we are doing, and yeah, it's approaching a million installs now on Android, iOS, and Chrome OS. One of the things we do there is we take the sidebar, which perhaps people are familiar with, and you remember that we're converting this into JSON under the hood, or we can do. And we then wrap that and do, well, as good a job as we can of presenting this in a sort of a one-hand touch mobile experience that perhaps, you know, be familiar to anyone working with that. So, you know, you can get all of those awesome bits from the sidebar and the richness of the functionality there, and apply it then to, you know, your mobile UX very easily. And so there are things there that you can do that you just can't easily do elsewhere. And conversely, we've really improved the LibreOffice sidebar, you know, for chart editing, chart type stuff, so that then works nicely on mobile. So there's a really beautiful synergy there around sharing the code and improving those experiences in tandem. That's been just great to see. And of course, running on Chrome OS, it's really nice. Of course, actually, that's just the Android app running there. But under the hood, the Android app has the whole Collabora Online, LibreOffice sitting behind it. And so, you know, it doesn't matter that it's not a mobile phone or a tablet. We can provide really the full PC full PC experience there. And we can run offline, which is great. So you can work nicely there on your Chromebook. Brilliant. So of course we're doing loads of things, but we can't do everything, and we really appreciate other people getting involved. So there are really two ways you can do that. The first thing you can do, of course, is get stuck into LibreOffice. You know, it's a great project. We love it. There's the code there. You can check it out. There are get involved links, and you know, there's a mix of languages there. So C++, Python. There's lots of localization and things that you're doing. And it's a thriving German community. You know, I think. If you're allowed to be proud of your nation, then Germany has done amazingly good things around LibreOffice and OpenOffice before it, I guess, in creating and nurturing and providing, an environment. And of course, the Document Foundation is based in Berlin, which is cool. So there's loads of good things that can be done at LibreOffice. So do get stuck in there. And that's around 98% of the code underneath Collabora Online. So Collabora Online is a little bit on the top. The Moodle plugin is even smaller. And we're really all about reusing code and getting rich functionality to everyone and making those features complementary. So typically you add the feature to LibreOffice and it's there in Collabora Online and it's there on mobile and it's there on Chrome OS and so on, which is great. And then of course there's Collabora Online piece on top. We also have Easy Hacks, which you can go and play with there. We have translations in Web8, and it's slightly different. I mean, there's a lot more JavaScript and CSS and design work. There's a different UI there. There's more freedom to change and tweak and improve things there, or at least it's easier often to work with. And there's a C++ core that is there running and proxying and managing all of these LibreOffice key instances. There's a forum there, and we have weekly development meetings. If you want to show up, say hi, tell us what you'd like to work on. We're up for helping you there. So do check those out on our website above. Here's my team. Just a quick plug for Collabora. Our mission is to make open source rock, and we're doing it, and we'd love to do it with you. I think one of the distinctives we have is that you can see the ocean here. This is our annual conference in Almeria. We are not trying to boil the ocean. there are only a few things that we can do, and we want to do those as well as we possibly can. So we're just fully focused on being an office piece that embeds into other people's wonderful products. You know, there are, and yeah, that, I think that's useful to have a reasonably well-defined scope. There are some more talks, so let me just advertise Stefan Unverricht's talk, which is, I think, in this room next. So very little effort required to get the next dose of excellent content. And if I can't persuade you to that, how about Mike Saunders, who's also just a fantastic, you know, enthusiastic, wonderful marketing person, and he'd be able to get you involved in LibreOffice and tell you what's happening in the next round of LibreOffice 7.2. Which will be coming, I guess, in another three to 5 months. So do. And he's in session three, I think. So next door there. Otherwise, I think that is pretty much the end of my talk. I probably gave it about 20% too fast. Sorry about that. I had a little bit more time. But I'm very up for any questions or comments or anything that anyone wants to ask. And I'll do my very best to help. So thank you for being here. Over to you for questions.
Thank you, Michael, for your presentation.
My pleasure.
There was one question that I see in the chat, and the question is, how about responsiveness of the interface and usability on mobile devices?
Sure. So that is a great question. Let me just hop back to here. So, of course, you know, when you're on a mobile device, there's a whole load of choices that you need to make, and the question really is then how to best adapt your UI to work nicely on mobile. So as you shrink, I mean, if you play with Collabra Online and do, you know, just to install it and play with it, we're not massively good at changing the UI radically as you shrink the window. We're a lot better if you select a mobile device type and reload, and this is just you know, if someone wants to come and optimize that, that's wonderful. But typically, we find that phones don't tend to turn into PCs very suddenly. Of course, they do rotate, and we adapt nicely with the UI there. But as you can see, for a tablet, we typically use just that notebook bar view there, which, you know, has reasonably large icons that you can get hold of. And of course, many of the things that are good for touch are good for mice users as well. You know, nice big grab handles, making it easy to you know, tap and move things around. But when you get to a mobile phone form factor, you need something totally different. And so we have, you know, I don't know if you can see here, but you know, this is a portrait mode, and you can click a little button at the top, and you get this palette from below, and that would then give you, you know, a diving menu. So, you know, if you click on the font name, it'll provide you a list of font names, and in theory, you can do it with one finger, one thumb, or, you know, one hand. Of course, most people prefer to do it with two. And so that's, I think, very familiar to many people. It's also there in the PC version. So there are really two uses for that. One is to have a fat client app that works offline. So you can install Collabra Online on Android. Well, do it now, have a go, play with it. And that you're effectively running a fat client application there locally. Or say if you're running Nextcloud, you can have it embedded inside that. So you're then talking to the server, the Collabra Online server, and, you know, you can collaboratively edit using essentially the same UI, but inside a Nextcloud surround there. And that's really useful because there are some things you can't easily do in the browser, copy, paste, permissions around various things that you can do if you have a helpful application wrapped around you. And so integrating like that is kind of good. And of course, you know, for a large application that you use infrequently, or maybe you use it frequently, but if you want to edit that document, it's nice to have a server to help you that already has it loaded, that is happy to consume the memory and disk space or whatever, so your mobile phone doesn't have to, and that starts absolutely instantly, it's already started, and that has loaded your document in massive parallel on a very, very large big cache processor and has rendered it, you know, way before you could have loaded the local app or the, you know, even jittered the JavaScript to run a, you know, a local app. So I think you can get some great performance from, and well, all that goes with that, you know, battery saving, power stuff, reduced temperatures, it doesn't burn out of your pocket and so on. And you can make that then work nicely inside your mobile phone with the same user interface here that you see in the app that will also run there. Hopefully that helped. Do you think that answered the question, Martin? It was long.
So. Yes, thank you for the answer.
No problem.
There are sadly no other questions in the chat. Well, so I can advise that everybody joins you in the Jitsi meeting afterwards.
Great.
And otherwise, you can the people can stay in the chat and visit the next talk, eGroupware or LibreOffice, as you mentioned before.
I think there's another one in another session. I'm not trying to do that guy down, but I'm just excited about the eGroupware and the LibreOffice talks myself. So I'll see you in a Jitsi room if you want to have further discussion. Thanks, everyone. It's been good of you to come. And I'll head off to this Jitsi room now. All the very best. Bye.
Bye.